Well, good morning. Been an interesting couple of days, has it not? If you like rain and you like sunshine, you've had plenty of both, huh? Just happens to be intermittent. The last couple of Sundays at 9:30, I've kind of had this theme of things that are unforgettable. Start out with stories of faith that were retold over and over, and talked about unforgettable faith, and talked about Abraham. We looked at unforgettable leadership and how the Bible kind of constantly pointed back to Moses as being the kind of leader that God could use and did use. Today is going to be just a tiny bit different, because the Bible doesn't necessarily over and over again point back to what we're going to focus on today in terms of a prayer. But the fact that this thing hit the pages of the Bible at all is a pretty amazing thing. So I want to show you a couple of video clips. It has nothing to do with where we're going to go in terms of the actual content. But I want it to be sort of a jump-off point to talk about prayer. I wanted to show you those two things. At the center of each one of those videos was prayer. The first clip, anybody know what that's from? You may have heard it hit the news. He was told he could not pray. There would be no prayer in that school graduation. And he's the kid that essentially said, my speech goes out, and what goes in is the Lord's Prayer. That school tried, in his, at least was currently, trying to block his ability to go to one of the academies that he had been offered because he did that. Secondly, that's Francis Chan, who's a pastor, wrote the book Crazy Love. And I just wanted you to hear a little bit about the way he was praying and what God did in response to the things that he was praying about. What was he praying about? Okay. One was that God would cause people to have means with which then to be even more generous. He wasn't complaining about them being generous. He was saying he wanted them to be even more generous, and that the way that that would happen would be that they would then just not care about stuff anymore. And then what did God do in his life? Gave, you know, his wife, the story about his wife desiring to do that, and then God giving them the opportunity to do that, and then being faithful to do what they said they were going to do. Prayer is unforgettable in a lot of ways. There are prayers in the Bible. What's a prayer that you know we could classify very easily as an unforgettable prayer? 23rd Psalm, okay. Lord's Prayer, okay. The one that he taught his disciples to pray. Any other prayers come to your mind?
No.
Take this cup from me, okay. Prayer in the garden before betrayal. Okay. Stephen's prayer. Okay, before the stoning. Okay. Okay, that wouldn't be a scriptural one, but yes, that I would say that there's that's well known. Yes. Yes. Yeah. And we'll stop on that note. Because that's where I want to camp out a little bit today. You know, the reality is, there are not many people whose names nor actions are recorded in the Bible just because of a prayer. But there is one, and that's Jabez. And you know that it was probably about 15 years ago now, 17 years ago, Bruce Wilkinson, who was the leader of the Walk Through the Bible organization, wrote a little book called Prayer Jabez. Before that, pretty much this little prayer and this guy named Jabez was pretty much not on anybody's radar screen. Now, I think the reason why we're even familiar with the name largely is because of that book. I think that a lot of people, as they've looked at this prayer, prayed by Jabez, who we don't really even know who he was, and I'm going to get to that in a second. Some people have kind of tried to run and make it sort of a pattern for prayer. I don't think that that's necessarily what it ought to be. But we can learn things from it, and there is a reason why it's there. Just like the other prayers that we mentioned that were in the Bible, there's something about those prayers that we are supposed to soak on. Because they are important. And one thing I think that you'll see that's consistent in almost every one of them, no matter what the context, they're not complicated. They're out of the hearts of individuals, Jesus being one, whose hearts are in sync with God. Even if what they're praying about is a help. So let's look at an unforgettable prayer and see what we find out about this little prayer and see what we can learn. So first of all, let's look at what we know about this guy named Jabez. As we look at the prayer, because that's really all we've got. Now, I did try to do a few other hunting expeditions on my own to see what I could learn about him. But the first thing we know is that he was a descendant of Judah. It's pretty clear from where this passage is in context in 1 Chronicles, in all the genealogies and all the lists and everything. He was somebody that was descended from the line of Judah, which was rather significant. Okay, big tribe. Secondly, he was probably a descendant, if you go Judah to another, if you look at the way that this passage is couched in this section, there is really no clear connection. It's like you get a little discussion by a couple of brothers, then all of a sudden there's a break, and then you have this thing of, well, Jabez was more honorable than his brother. You don't even know who his brothers are. It doesn't say. Rather interesting. But from what we can tell, because of his name and because of where it's situated in 1 Chronicles, we can kind of tell that he was probably from the descendants of Shobal, okay, based on where the town he was from was called, and you know the names and everything in Hebrew, all those things kind of line up. Okay, so we can kind of tell that based on the information given. He had brothers, we know that for a fact, okay. He was found to be more honorable than his brothers. We don't know that his brothers were bad guys, but we know there was something about him that, at least in God's esteem, raised him up in some way. Okay? And his mother had trouble bearing him in childbirth, which was significant for Jabez because it has to do with his name. We're going to look at it in just a minute. And last, God did respond to his prayer, and it changed the course of his life. He prayed, God answered, he was changed. That's probably the one thing that, if we're going to say a prayer was unforgettable, if we ever ask God that any of our prayers would be unforgettable, this is one of the things that we would want to have happen. We would want something to change, something in us, something in someone else that we influence, in places we go, people we know, we want something to be different. That's why he prayed, right? So that makes it rather significant. Something we could say would be worthy of being unforgettable. So those are the things that we can tell. Let's look at the prayer. Here's the prayer. It's simple. It's clear. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. 1 Chronicles 4, 9 through 10. Jabez was more honorable than his brothers. His mother had named him Jabez, saying, I gave birth to him in pain. Now, do you have anything that maybe was, you've got a question about there? Ladies, those of you who have had children, was it painless? Go. So something to me is, I have a question there. Okay? This must be like really bad. This kid must have been really hard to get into the world. Okay? Not just it hurt, it must have been like mega trouble. Okay? Sorrow maker. Okay? I mean, there was something that was unusual that made his coming into the world that much more difficult for his mother. And it wasn't lost on her. Evidently, you know, she doesn't say he was the first one, and you know, it says he was more honorable than his brother. Chances are he wasn't the first. So he wasn't the oldest. He'd already had children. So she had something with which to decide this kid was hard to get here. Now, in giving him the name that she did, there's a play on the word. The word that you don't get because we don't read Hebrew. His name is a play on the word pain. So she named him what he was when he came into the world. For you and me, in our secular mindset that we have adopted, even though we believe in Jesus, that doesn't mean a whole lot. But to the Hebrew mindset, in that day and age, it was very serious. She named him pain. And it was almost a dictum as to what his life was going to be like. He caused pain coming into the world. Therefore, it was almost, I'm going to use the word, just hang in there with me, it's almost like a curse hanging over his head to be named Jabez. Okay? So, here's what he did. She said, I gave birth to him in pain, and then, do you not see the irony when it says, Jabez cried out to the God of Israel? People who are in pain cry out. Here's a man named Pain crying out to God. This is what he asked. Oh, that you would bless me and enlarge my territory. Let your hand be with me and keep me from, in other words, there's harm, but it's also another word played on the word pain, so that I will be free from pain. And God granted his request. And folks, that's why the prayer's there, and that's why his name's in the Bible. Because God responded. There is nothing else we know about the guy. His name never pops up again. He's never brought up. But the fact that an insignificant guy in a list of genealogies would be someone that God would make sure that his name and his prayer is recorded in Scripture is somewhat significant. Because it would be like one of us, any one of us, a normal person who is experiencing great distress, trouble, problems, who felt like we had a curse or a generational curse on our head, crying out to God and asking Him to change our situation. And then He would choose to have that be something that stayed in the collective memory of all of His people. That's what it's like. A normal, everyday person like you and me praying something simple like this. So what did He ask for? God's blessing, first of all, in the shape of provision and success. Where do you see the provision part? You want to go back to the prayer? Go back to the prayer. So, that you would bless me. Is it okay to ask God to bless you? No, it's not offensive to God. Do we do it collectively? When was the last time you sang, God bless America? Isn't that a prayer? I know it's a song, but that's what it is. Oh, that you would bless me. Whenever we are experiencing anxiety and stress, we're asking God to make a change in our situation, or us, either way. Isn't that what we're asking God to do? But He takes it a step farther. This is where He asks for the next part, which would be more than just provision, more than just salvation. He goes to the enlarging of His territory. What are some things that go along with having more territory? More responsibility. Bigger challenges. Very good. Because oftentimes, when we ask God for things, sometimes we don't always think it through. We don't always think through the ramifications of what we're asking God for. The cool thing about this prayer, I think we can see, is that Jabez did. He was going to the next thing. He wasn't just saying, God, get me out of this. He was saying, I understand that along with this, there comes some things. Enlarging his territory didn't only just give him rescue, it also meant that he was asking for blessing and provision. It meant that he was asking for greater responsibility. It meant he was asking for influence. That's a part of what we pray. You see, we can ask God to do great things in our lives, but we have to understand that it never stops with us. Like we were listening to Francis Chan. Why was it that his wife wanted to have stuff, to be generous, and then God blessed them, and then what did they do? They found a way to do it. Okay? They did what they said. Did God enlarge their territory? Yes. He blessed them and He enlarged their territory. It was a good example. Let your hand be with me and keep me from harm, that I will be free from pain. We see God's presence in the symbol of His hand. Now, I think there's two things that this is significant for, and John, you can go back to the following slide there. He was asking for two things. One, He was asking for safety. When we talk about God's hand being on somebody, oftentimes what we are talking about is God's presence with them. And one of the reasons why we ask for God's presence with them is that He will be with them to keep them safe. Pray that for our kids all the time, don't we? The second is, He was asking to be free from emotional distress and maybe even physical pain. He was asking for God to intervene in his life and not let his name be what his life would be like. Does that make sense? A reversal of fortune. He didn't want everybody that met him to go, oh, you're the guy named Payne. I've heard about you. He wanted them, he wanted the association to be ironic instead of inconsistency with. He wanted people to come across him and say, "You're named Pain." Because he wanted to have people see that he was free from emotional distress, maybe even physical pain, because God's hand was on him. Now, what are some other things that we think of whenever we talk about God's hand being on us? What are things that are associated with that kind of request? Because we pray those kind of things, don't we? His anointing of His Spirit. And what goes along with the anointing of God's Spirit? What do we mean when we say that? Okay, the ability, the power and the capacity to pour out into other people. Okay. All right, anything else? I'm sorry. Wisdom. Okay. Courage. Is that what you said? No. What'd you say? Fruit. Okay. Fruit. Sorry, you're in the corner. I can't hear you. Energy. Okay. Anything else you see? As we look at the prayer for a second. Mm-hmm. He was asking God that he would be free from harm and free from pain. And part of that is God moving him into directions that would not expose him to those things. Yeah? Okay. Any of the things that he prayed for, are those things that you or people you know pray for? Okay. This is not an... Is this a unique prayer? It's not by anybody that we would say accomplished anything necessarily. It's not a prayer that's filled with stuff that you and I wouldn't pray. But it's unforgettable. It made Scripture. So let's look at a few things. Next slide. What do we learn from this prayer? Surrender, courage to ask. Motive is important in your prayer. In the Gospel of John, what did Jesus say about how we the things that we pray for? Okay, one, we should believe when we ask. He also said something else that's important. Ask in Jesus' name. I'm going to give you the Rick Smith paraphrase version. You're asking according to His will and purpose. That you can have confidence when you ask. When you know that God has told you, and it's consistent with God's character, that you are asking for something He has told you He is going to do. I know that makes no sense to us, but God does do that, doesn't He? He can put things on our hearts, confirm it through Scripture, confirm it sometimes through other people. This is something we need to be praying for. We pray for, we have confidence. We know God's at work. We know He's doing this. Anything else you think we learn from this prayer? Okay, that we can have assurance when we pray. He's always working on it. Okay. Well, Jesus wasn't much one for long prayers anyway, was He? Which I think does go back to, you know, most of these unforgettable prayers that we see in Scripture were pretty to the point and weren't long and drawn out. No matter how, again, I'm going to use the word, no matter how cursed we may feel at the moment or in life, prayer can change us and it can change the trajectory of our lives because God is in the middle of the conversation. God is big enough. Now, we're not going to have to fill in the blanks, but how many of us have had to live with the weaknesses or sins or failures of those that brought us into the world? Okay? We have to live with it, right? Okay? Now, what do we do with that? You know, the reality is, it wasn't until I was here in this congregation where anybody ever had any conversation about how those things needed to be severed from my life. And how it had to be an intentional thing on my part. I'd never heard anybody talking about that till I came here. All right. Learn a lot from this prayer. Next, what do we learn, and I think we've kind of bled over into this a little bit. What do we learn from Jabez? Not just his prayer, but what do we learn from just who Jabez was? He was tired of being pained. He was sick and tired of being sick and tired. He didn't want that to be his legacy. He was more honorable than his brothers. Now, whether it's because of this or something else, that's one of those things we don't know. We just don't know. He believed God. He trusted God. He knew he couldn't change anything. He had to go to God to do the changing. That's right. He chose not to remain a victim. That's right. He didn't have anything to do with being called pain. He may have literally experienced pain every day of his life. We don't know. Possible. Anything else? So why does God grant us requests that we make in prayer? We kind of touched on that a minute ago. Just a question to kind of refocus it. When we pray, why does God give us what we ask for? Because we ask, we believe, He loves us, we're asking with the right motive to fulfill His plan and purpose with the intention of enlarging our territory, which would be to bless, encourage, influence others. And then you know, when He does do what He says, we can't renege on it. How many people do you know in your lifetime that have asked God to save their bacon, and God saves their bacon, and 2 days later or 2 months later, they're right back in the same old, because God got them out, and now they're going to go do their thing. Next question. So why does God not grant us requests that we make in prayer? Not time, wrong motives. God's got a plan, better plan, a different plan, which sometimes we struggle with because our plan's the best plan. Okay? Dixie was using an example of camp and how seemed to be an attitudinal change in the kids through what had taken place in camp over the last couple of years, and that it was going to be God, and that's carried through. Anything else about why God doesn't grant what we ask? Wasn't in line with His will, or we're not in line with His will? Okay. Yeah, I grew up in the era of, "Oh Lord, won't you buy me a Mercedes Benz? My friends all have Porsches. I must make amends." This kind of goes back to an issue that I like to touch upon that's kind of painful. What is God's purpose for you? What is His highest purpose? My job is to trust Him and trust others to Him, and until they're not here anymore, our job is to pray and to be faithful with what He tells us to do. Stephen, might cause us harm. Okay, all right. In fact, it may be so out of God's purpose and plan that it actually controverts in some way God's purpose and plan. He's not going to give us that because He loves us and He has a plan and He wants us to be a part of that. God's purpose and plan for you and me, if I can write this down on this day, if you never remember anything else that Rick Smith ever said, God's purpose and plan is that you be more like Jesus Christ. That's it. Sorry, it's no more complicated than that. And guess what? That doesn't mean that you aren't going to experience difficulty or pain or trouble or hard decisions. Because Jesus went through all that. And if you and I are going to be like Him, and if you read Scripture the way I do, Paul talked about being like Jesus even to the point of sharing in His suffering. Now, I'm sorry, that does not ring very highly on our culture's radar. Because we want happiness and feel good and a something to remove all of our trouble and discomfort. That's not to say we can't pray for God to remove that stuff, but at the same time, if I'm going to be like Jesus, that doesn't mean He's going to take all that away. Because I'm telling you right now, there are hundreds of believers on the face of the planet right now that are suffering, who know Jesus better than me. And they're suffering unbelievably. And God has not forgot them, and He loves them. He's answering their prayers. But they're still where they are. Last question. So how much of Jabez's prayer is about freedom from the curse of his name? Just something to ask. I don't know that I have an answer, but it is something to consider. Especially whenever we look at our lives and the things that we bring into the world that we had nothing to do with. Here is an unforgettable prayer with a person who is insignificant and has now been made unforgettable. And there's things that we need to know about this whole idea of what prayer is about that I think this prayer magnifies. I'm going to leave it in your court for you to seek God about. Maybe one time this week, pull out 1 Chronicles 4, 9, and 10. Read the prayer again. Ask God, what does this have to do with you? With the way you pray, who you are, what you expect Him to do. What are you going to do whenever He answers your prayer? Because just praying the prayer and just getting an answer is not the end. It's really just the beginning. Bow with me. Let's pray. Father God, we only have a snapshot of why You found Jabez in this prayer to be something that we need to know. I thank You that we get to learn the lesson. And I pray that You would keep teaching us the lesson. Lord, I ask that we would become more mature in how we pray and how we understand what's going on as we pray. Because our prayers are not just grocery lists. Our prayers are conversations with the One who's in charge of the universe. Lord, help us to listen better before we blurt out our grocery list. Thank You that we do have communion with You, that Your Spirit does live within us, and that we can learn lessons from You, and that we can have confidence when we come to You, knowing that You are our Father, and You will not give us things that will hurt us. You will only grant us things that are according with Your purpose and will, and that will truly bless us. Thank You. Help us to be patient. In Jesus' name I pray.